All right, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. All right, out of respect for the Word of God, let's stand together as I begin reading there with verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Thank you, Brother Chandler. Tonight I want to preach a message that goes along with the spiritual Christian life. And probably the last message in this series has been kind of broken up through the fall season. And just to reiterate a couple of things, I've said that the spiritual life is the birthright of every believer, that Jesus has saved us and given us eternal life and has given us new spirits, renewed, regenerated spirits. We've been made partakers of His nature and indwelled by His Holy Spirit. And so living a spiritual life is not only possible, it ought to be expected, it ought to be normal. And it is the best way for us to live as Christians, to live as truly spiritual people. Which, by the way, means that the spirit comes before the flesh. That's what it means to be spiritual. And that doesn't just happen. It's not automatic. It's something we have to work at and strive to not only achieve but maintain. Now, the opposite of a spiritual life is a natural or carnal life, living according to the flesh. And certainly, in the flesh, you can live to a certain morality, and you can even be religious and be fleshly, but the flesh never pleases God. The flesh never pleases the Lord. And God desires us to have the fullness of His Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, which cannot be produced apart from the Spirit filling us and us living a spiritual life. Now, tonight's message, I think, will be a little bit hard to preach, but I think it's going to be a blessing. But I want to speak to you about dealing with negative emotional strongholds. Dealing with negative emotional strongholds, or dealing with negativity, negative emotions, really the dark side of our nature. Now, sometimes these dark and ugly emotions become strongholds that don't go away easily. They've been built up over time. They are like walled castles. They perhaps go back to our childhood, been there for years. But you think about a stronghold is where the enemy resides. And in our lives, a stronghold is something where the flesh remains strong. And something that we need to cast down, not with carnal weapons, but spiritual weapons. And so that we can enjoy fullness and peace and contentment and joy like God wants us to have. These negative emotional strongholds grieve the Holy Spirit. They cause us trouble in our relationships. They become hindrances to our spiritual growth. They lead to sin in our lives or are sin in our lives. They steal our joy and peace. They bring unhappiness and disquiet to the soul. Now, verses 31 and 32, very familiar. I know all of you know these verses. But they give us a contrast between negative and positive. Verse 32 is positive. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Those are positive qualities. Amen? And but verse 31 lists negative qualities or negative emotions, feelings, or actions, or behaviors. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, bitterness is an ugly emotional stronghold. Bitterness is when it's settled in. It is rooted. The Bible talks about the root of bitterness. It's like a tree that has taken root and has wrapped around the heart, gotten down deep inside. The seed of that may go all the way back to your childhood or it may go back to yesterday, but it is something that has settled in and has taken root, and it's an ugly emotional stronghold. Wrath and anger go together. Wrath is when anger gets violent. Wrath is when anger acts out. You know, anger doesn't always act out. Sometimes people are angry, but it just kind of simmers under the surface. It's there, but You're not really acting out. You're not lashing out, hurting people, but it's down deep inside. And then sometimes that all of a sudden that does erupt in someone's life and it does end up hurting someone. But wrath is when anger acts out. And some folks are just angry all the time. It just simmers under the surface. It just doesn't take much to set them off because they're always angry. It rests in their bosom, the Bible talks about. And so wrath and anger go together. Clamor and evil speaking go together. Clamor is verbal anger. That's when you're angry and you say something about it. And clamor is, you know, if you someone crashes a bunch of pots and pans together, you say, "What's the clamor?" That's what clamor is in our lives. Yelling, arguing, name-calling, fighting, back and forth, screaming, slamming things, making a bunch of noise. That's clamor. That's not a positive thing. And so wrath is anger acting out. Clamor is anger speaking out. But evil speaking doesn't necessarily have to be yelling. You could do some evil speaking very quietly. And you could even type it out. I mean, evil speaking doesn't have to be yelling. It's just something that's evil that's spoken. Evil speaking. And it usually it comes out of an angry or bitter heart. Malice. God says, put away with all malice. Malice is, I'll give you the long dictionary definition. Extreme enmity of heart, malevolence. A disposition to injure others without cause. For personal gratification. That's just a mean person. When you have malice in your heart, you're just mean and rotten to the core. You just hurt people for no reason. Is that how a Christian should be? Well, I've known people that were malicious. One person always comes to mind when I think of malice because, I mean, she was just mean. Mean. Meaner than a snake. Snakes don't go looking to hurt people. And she'd lash out at her family or people at church and just lash out and hurt, and never apologize. And she wrecked her family. She's wrecked relationships because there was just something mean about this person. Mean, all the time mean. And God doesn't want us to be malicious or spiteful or full of revenge and enjoying seeing people hurt. There's just something cruel about that. And so these are things that God doesn't want in our lives. He says to put these things away. They have to go. Now, I'll say this, that it's better to start this when you're young and easier when you're young than when you're older. If our young folks would learn to control their emotions and put those things away when they're young, you'd be a lot better off when you're older. Take, for example, anger. You take a little kid, he's 4 years old, and he's allowed, when he gets angry, he's allowed to hit people and lash out, and he hits his mom. And parents just going to laugh, well, he'll get over it. Yeah, he'll either get over it, or when he's 14, he'll be getting in fights at school or hitting his teacher. And when he's 34, he'll be hitting his wife and hitting his kids because he's mad. Amen. So when a kid throws a temper tantrum, and whether it's a boy or a girl, because more and more domestic disputes are the woman beating up the man. Because she's mad or he's mad. And so they get mad and they start lashing out at stuff. Well, when that four-year-old starts doing it, and you outweigh that four-year-old by a few pounds, you take that four-year-old and you bend him over your knee and you apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning. And you teach them that certain behaviors are not acceptable in society, including our home society. But you don't do that. You control your anger because when you are an adult, I don't want the police called on you. You know, a police officer used to go to our church. He told me, he said, it's amazing. I get called to these houses in Dallas. And he said, these mothers, they expect me to talk to their kids. And there's a 16-year-old kid. And they expect me to talk to them for 10 minutes and undo everything they've been allowed to be for the last 16 years. You have not controlled your child. You have not disciplined your child. You've let them do whatever they want to. You have hands-off, passive parenting, and you think that a police officer in 10 minutes is going to straighten them out. How about we straighten them out when they're four? And they throw a tantrum, And we say, no, you can't throw a tantrum as big as I can throw a tantrum. Because I'd rather spank you now and discipline you now than have to have a police officer put handcuffs on you, or for your wife to end up with a black eye, or your kids to be physically abused because you got angry. And anger is just one example of that. But there's many things, resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness and unkindness, with just those emotional outbursts that children are allowed to have and they shouldn't be allowed to have. Parents need to teach their children, this behavior is not acceptable. You do not act like that. When you start to have a feeling, that does not mean that your feeling allows you to act out on it, because that's how I feel. You have a flesh nature, you have a sinful nature that needs to be disciplined and controlled, and just because you feel that way does not mean you can act that way. But parents don't want to do that because they'd rather believe the lie that, hey, my kids will somehow turn out right magically. They'll just, you know, everyone else is, I mean, the prisons are full of people that they didn't turn out right, but hey, they aren't my kids. God tells us to train up our children the way they should go. And parents need to teach their kids emotional stability. Of course, you can't teach what you don't know yourself. And that goes for girls who are more emotional than boys. That no, you just because your emotions are out of whack doesn't mean everyone else has to suffer for that. You control your emotions. We've talked to our girls many times over the years. No, I'm sorry, you can't act like that when they were small. No, you don't act like that. Because one day I don't want some pastor to have to put up with that. I mean, it would be wrong for my son to throw fists when he gets mad. It'd be wrong for my daughters to go off and pout for 2 days because they're mad about something. Amen. Well, I feel kind of lonely up here, but that's good sound. You don't just spend 3 or 4 days stewing because you didn't get your way. That's bad behavior. Don't allow it. I'm not going to talk to my brother for a week. Well, that's a great way to go through life. When you have siblings, that's how life prepares you for other relationships. You can't just say, well, I'm just going to talk to my brother for a week because I'm mad at him. That's not how a Christian handles things. So, kids, if you'll learn, and parents, if we'll instill these facts and these things, that our kids will be so much better off, and they won't end up having strongholds when they're 40 and paying some psychiatrist $200 an hour to feed that stronghold instead of learning how to tear it down and live a spiritual Christian life. Well, we move on. Part of living the spiritual Christian life is dealing with the ugly side of our natures. Being a Christian is not just avoiding bars and listening to the right kind of music and wearing the right hemline and going to church all the time. It means facing the darkness that is within us and putting away things and tearing down things that are an offense to God. Now, we're going to look at quite a few verses tonight. So I hope that you love your Bible. We're going to let the Word of God cleanse us. Amen. See what the Scriptures say. Number one, we need to learn to recognize, as the first word, recognize negative emotions. Go with me to Galatians 5. We've already discussed quite a few there in Ephesians, but I want you to see in Galatians 5. Notice in verse 24. Verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. See, your flesh has affections or emotions and desires and lusts, and those are things that need to be crucified. Notice in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Those are all actions, behaviors. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, those are actions and behaviors. But notice, now we have some emotions, hatred. We find variance. You know what variance is? That's the person who is always disagreeable. They can always find the negative in everything. They're at odds with everything. They disagree with everything. They find what is wrong in everything. They always have to vary from everybody else. They got to be they're just against it all. Variance. The next thing is emulations. The next emotion is emulation. That goes with vainglory. In other words, I got to be superior to you. I got to feel like I'm superior to everybody else. I read an article years ago about stroller envy. stroller envy that young yuppie moms had to, were trying to outdo each other and who would have the best stroller. And one, I read, she said, if I see another mom, she's got a better stroller than my kids have. I just feel like I'm a failure as a mother. We were just happy if the wheels stayed on ours. I mean, you don't need them for a few years. You don't need a Cadillac stroller. Put a Mercedes symbol on the front. You know? But, I mean, that just illustrated the kind of envy. I've got to be, my kids have to be better than your kids. My marriage has to look better than your marriage. My job has to be better than your job. My car has to be better than your job. Nothing sillier than a status symbol car. A status symbol car. Look at me, I drive a $100,000 car. Oh, don't you think I'm something? Cars don't impress me. If you drove an old pickup truck, I'd be more interested in an old pickup truck than a status symbol car. But anyway, that's a pet peeve of mine, but I gotta be better. I gotta have a bigger church than you have. I gotta have, my kids have to look more perfect than yours look. And if they see anyone who looks better or seems to have something better, they have to tear them down. My family has been the object of that several times over the years where people thought, well, the Raspberry family, they just think they're perfect, so we gotta tear them down. Well, first of all, the Raspberry family does not think they're perfect. The Raspberry family is far from perfect. But there's no need to tear me down or tear my family down to try to make yours look better. That's ungodly. I'm not interested in competing with you. I don't think my kids are better than your kids. All I care about is my kids being the best kids my kids can be. But that's emulation. That's an emotion that some people feel that they're upset because they don't feel like they're superior to somebody else. Wrath and strife, we've discussed. Envying. Kind of goes along with that, means being unhappy because someone else has something you don't have. Now, it's one thing to say, I'd like to have something like you have. You know, Brother Parks has a 76 Chevy step-side pickup truck. I'd like to have one like that. But to be angry at Brother Parks for having a truck I don't have, that's envy. That's ugly. What do I want to take his truck? I want him not to have that truck just because I don't. That's envy and that's ugliness. Well, you have something I don't have, so I want you to lose it and I'd be happy if you lost it because how dare you have something I don't have? That's an ugly emotion. Contrast these with the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I mean, those are all positive emotional conditions. The Holy Spirit wants to produce those in us. Go with me to Proverbs. I want you to see some good common sense, living level verses dealing with our emotions. And I'm not gonna have you look up all these. I want you to see a few of them and I'll read some others to you. Proverbs 10 and verse number 12. Proverbs 10 verse 12. Hatred stirreth up stripes, but love covereth all sins. Why are we always bringing up stuff that's going to cause an argument? Hatred does that. Love covers things up. Look at Proverbs 12 and verse 18. Proverbs 12, 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. In other words, by the way, Jesus taught us that our tongues are attached to our hearts, and the things we say come out of the abundance of our hearts. So when we say hateful, piercing things to other people, it's not saying good things about our hearts. When kids say to their parents, I hate you, well, it's an awful thing to say. It's an awful thing to say. And, you know, piercings love a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Look at Proverbs 13 and verse 10. 13 and verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, both the well advised as wisdom. So where's contention come from? Someone's got pride. Maybe both. Maybe everybody. And pride causes contention. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. So many verses I could go through, but I want you to see these. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Isn't that stupid? Can we call it what it is? That's stupid. Whether it's a man or a woman. You got to live in that house. So here I live in my house, And instead of making it nicer and building it up, I'm going to go rip it apart, man. I'm going to knock the walls down, throw things off, and smash holes in the walls, and brick by brick, I'm going to tear apart my house that I have to live in. That's silly. But when we don't control our emotions, we take our marriage and we tear it apart, tear it apart, tear it apart, until there's nothing left and no one wants it anymore. Tear apart our relationships, tear apart things that we ought to be building up and enjoying. It's foolish to pluck it down with our hands, one piece at a time, every day, because of some stronghold, some emotional thing that is causing us, not only us to be unhappy, but our marriages and our relationship with our kids, etc. Look at Proverbs 14, verse 17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. In other words, it doesn't take much to make you angry, there's a problem. Soon angry. Look at verse 29. He that is slow to wrath. Verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. He that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Now, that's more of a problem for some than others. Some are very laid back and casual about everything, and others are very up-tempo and passionate and driven. And those who are very driven, sometimes they have to work hard to be patient and to control and not to get angry about stuff. Look at verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. So what is envy like? Envy is like having bone cancer. It's just going to eat you up. Just going to eat you up. I've seen people. I knew a person envious of other people's marriages, envious of other people's kids. I mean, just if someone got, you know, a trophy for workers' appreciation, this person was just, I mean, they just turned red and green. They're just so angry that someone else would, and it ate away at that person's heart and life. And boy, you don't want to see the fruit of that today. It's ugly. Envy is like bone cancer. It's rottenness on the inside. Let's go down to chapter 16, verse 32. Chapter 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Look at Proverbs 19, and verse 11. Let's let the word of God cleanse us. Amen. Chapter 19, verse 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. It is his glory to pass over a transgression. It's all right to let some things go. Just pass over it. Put it behind you and defer it. Before you hit send, maybe save it as a draft. Come back in a week. Abraham Lincoln did that all the time, not on the internet. He wrote many letters to his generals, just chewing them out, telling them how awful they were. And some of them, they were awful. But he had a rule that he'd write out everything that he felt in a letter. And he just poured all of his anger into it. He put it in an envelope, stick it in a drawer, and wait 7 days. Most of those letters never got sent. Because when he cooled off, he realized that sending that letter would not help the situation. So defer. Put it off. Look at Proverbs 29. I'm sorry, Proverbs 21, verse 9. 21:9. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than in a brawling woman with a brawling woman in a wide house. Isn't that descriptive? I see that brawling woman. I think of the old GLOW wrestling women, you know. Was that one woman? The Moolah? What was her name? Magnificent Moolah or something like that? She looked like that witch from 101 Dalmatians with her hair all out. I remember my mom would watch that sometimes. You see, GLOW, gorgeous ladies of wrestling. Here's Moolah throwing these women around, beating their heads in the mat. Who wants to live with that? Huh? Who wants to live with a brawling woman? See, I'd rather live in the corner of the house up under a tarp. No one wants to go into a fight every day. And by the way, it could be a brawling man, always looking for a fight. And so, just think about it. Look at 27:4, last one, 27:4. We need to recognize these negative emotions. Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. Who is able to stand before envy? Someone does something stupid. You know what they'll say is their excuse? Well, I was angry. Yeah, when you're angry, you do outrageous things. You say outrageous things. When you're full of wrath, you'll say things that are cruel and do things that are cruel that normally you wouldn't do. So we have to realize these things. Then envy, who can stand before? What can you do with someone who's envious? Unless you gave them the world, they're never going to be happy. I mean, if someone is envious of someone else's marriage, what am I going to do? Get a divorce so you'll be happy? No, there's no way to stand before that. I guess I'll just get rid of my kids. You don't like my kids, I'll get rid of them. No. See, you can't stand before envy. And wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. These are negative things that we need to recognize. We need to recognize that anger is not always sinful, but most of the time it is. And envy is sinful, and jealousy is not always. You can be jealous over your spouse or your kids or the Bible, but most of the time jealousy is a negative thing and it's a detrimental thing. Selfishness is wrong, and pride and vainglory are wrong, and bitterness is wrong, and pride and resentment are wrong. So we've got to recognize the different negative emotions. Number two, we must realize. So first was recognize, number two is realize that these are not beneficial things. Nothing we've read tonight points to any positive results from these negative emotions. Can we really convince ourselves that we are better off personally? Holding on to resentment, bitterness, anger, wrath, arguing, pride, envy, hatred, or jealousy? Are we really better off holding on to any of those things? They're not beneficial. We've seen that these negative emotions lead to negative behavior and negative consequences. What is the good of holding on to things that cause us to hurt others, stir up strife, run people out of our homes, run people out of our lives, cause us to lose friends and loved ones, make us act outrageously and foolishly, or cause us to become depressed? There are consequences to negative behaviors and emotions. And they're not good. I've known, and you've known also, people that have wrecked their lives because of these things we're discussing. They have grown old and lonely because of strongholds that broke up all the great relationships of their lives. They're sad, lonely, broken people, and they're still resentful. And it's the kid's fault, and it's their fault, and it's his fault, and it's her fault. And they sit there and they stew in their anger, their wrath, their bitterness, their negativity, and nothing good comes of it. It's not worth holding on to. So why hold on to them? Why are we so slow to embrace things that are good for us and so quick to hold on to things that are bad for us? That's our bad nature. That we're so slow to repent and so quick to sin. That we're so slow to change for good, but we hold fast to things that are not good for us. So why hold on to them? Bitterness especially. You know, bitterness, I call it, you know, getting stuck with a dirty knife. It's one thing to get stabbed. It's another thing to get stabbed with a dirty knife that then causes infection. Bitterness is the infection. It does more harm than the original injury. It's not worth holding on to. We've all had folks do us wrong, and some have had worse things than others. It's hard to imagine things worse than being abused as a child. I think that would rank at the top, losing a loved one as a child. You know, we can go down the long list, broken homes, etc. But we have to ask ourselves, is there no peace for me? Is there no peace for my heart? I'm a Christian now. Is there no peace? Is there no way for me to overcome this? So that I can have joy and happiness and contentment in my life. Thirdly, we must repent of those negative emotions. We must recognize them. We must realize they're not good for us. Then we must repent of those negative emotions. It's time to quit some things. Time to quit some things. You know, if a person gets saved, you tell them, quit drinking. Quit smoking. Quit doping. Quit fooling around. Okay, well, how about quit your meanness? Sam Jones, the old evangelist, used to travel the country preaching, Quit your meanness. Quit your resentment. Quit your bitterness. Quit your hatred. Quit your vainglory. Quit your clamoring. Quit your envy. Quit your jealousy. Why not put off those things as like we put off other things that are more obviously wrong? So put them off, repent, but also repentance means replacing them with good things, which is why the Bible says, after putting those things off, now be kind, replace it with kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiveness, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgives us, replacing those things. Number four, we must repeat. We must repeat. Getting right today doesn't mean we won't have to deal with them again. Strongholds take time to dismantle. And some things just keep coming back around. All right, I'll tell you a true story. You're not going to believe it, but it's true. I've told it before. David Livingstone, the great missionary to Africa. One of the most famous events of his life was the attack. He was attacked by a lion. And the lion attacked him and a man that was with him. The lion bit his shoulder and crushed all the bones in his shoulder and arm joint, causing him pain the rest of his life. And then the lion jumped off of him and bit the man with him, bit him on the thigh. And then they shot the lion. And Livingston, he healed up except for the bone and joint damage. And the other man, it was mostly just in the muscle and skin, and that healed up. But he said every year, he said, and Dr. Livingston was a medical doctor. And he said it was the strangest things. He said, I don't know why, but every year on the anniversary of that attack, the man I was with, that wound would reappear in his flesh. He said, I have no explanation for it, but every year that wound would reappear as though it had not healed. He said, I don't know if it's bacteria from the teeth of the lion, but every year that wound would come back like it had never healed. And I want to say that there are things in our lives and wounds in our heart and our emotions that we think we've gotten the victory over, and then we see something or we hear something, all of a sudden that hurt comes back to us as though it had never healed in the first place. Or those emotions that we thought we had the victory over, all of a sudden, there they are again. What do I do? I've got to repeat. When I start to feel jealous, someone else gets something that I wish I had, I've got to recognize that that is wrong, and I've got to say to myself, no, that's a bad emotion to have, and I've got to put that down. When I start to feel resentment, I've got to recognize it and put it down. When I start to feel angry, I need to calm myself down before I do something outrageous. When I feel bitterness starting to come back, then I have to recognize that, say, look, that's not right. I don't want to feel that way. I need to forgive again. I need to put it behind me, put it down, put it off, put it out. See, these are not easy things. The Christian life's not as easy as it sounds. I mean, really, especially if you've had a lot of hurts and heartaches in your life, but we've got to learn not to let our emotions dominate us, but to learn somehow to dominate them. We must put them down again. And I'll say this, that over time it gets easier and easier. Number five, we must rest in God's provision. We must rest in God's provision. How can I really overcome these strongholds? Well, not in your own power. But I'm thankful you don't have to do it in your own power. See, the key to the spiritual life is you have someone living in you who has unlimited power. It's not you by yourself. You can, through the fullness of the Spirit and through His help, overcome these negative emotions. You can get victory. And He wants to give you the victory. And over again, it is Him working in you that matters. So we have to learn to rest in His provision and trust and yield and feed the new nature. Get in the Word of God. Spend time in the Scriptures. Memorize verses that deal with your problems. We read a whole bunch in Proverbs, didn't we? Memorize them. Feed upon them. Remind them yourself of them. Our text verses, be a kind. I memorize those and I quote them to myself all the time. The more you feed the new nature, the stronger it becomes, and the stronger you will be as an overcomer. The more Bible, though, that you miss, and the more services you miss, And the more preaching that you miss, the weaker that you become and the stronger those strongholds become in your life. So, feed the Word of God, feed on the Word of God and pray and trust God and put it in God's hands and ask God to help you with something that is a stronghold in your life. God wants us to have a spiritual overcoming life. Not to allow the devil and the flesh to have these little stronghold castles inside of us from which they can attack us with impunity. Ask God to give you the victory.